他告诉你。
大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是米少米歇尔。今天我们又要跟大家分享托福听力的内容了，我们的嘉宾依然是壮壮老师。
Hello、这个托福的听力哈，我们为什么这么强攻听力呢？就是对于大多数在中国学英语的同学来说，听力其实是一个挺大的一个坎儿，因为平时你就不听，是吧？
对。
然后呢，好多人在考试的时候，他的直接表现就是听到最后就睡觉了。
啊，这能睡着？
因为他跟不上了，那些内容对他也离得比较遥远。要碰见一个学科他又不清楚的，那就更睡了。
也是挺放得开的学生吧？
那没办法，拦不住，是吧？使劲拦都拦不住。今天呢，我们的任务呢是一段对话加上一段讲座。这次呢是 a student and his faculty advisor。在你去美国大学的时候呢，这个教职员工里边有这么一个职位，就叫 advisor。我觉得相当于是一个 counselor 那样的职位啊，就是你有什么事儿你就去问他啊，他什么他都知道，他给你一些建议，所以他的这个头衔就是 advisor。有点像我们的大学的辅导员吧。
大学辅导员接触非常少，基本就没有，
没见着过，
见过一面，跑步在操场看一看。
我好像也觉得辅导员，我们那个年代的
辅导员
也不知道，可能就是组织大家什么收个团费这那的。但是好多时候这个职能也由学生自己选的这些学生会的干部就给担任了，
已经代劳了。
对，好，那现在呢我们来听这个 student faculty advisor 呢，他谈论的一个事儿呢，就是这个学生啊，他想去写一个报道，关于这个化学系的人，还有呢关于另外一个系的老师。那他为什么要做这件事儿呢？咱们先听一下。
Listen to a conversation between a student and his faculty advisor.
Hi, Steve. I scheduled this appointment because it's been a while since we touched base.
I know. I've been really busy. A friend of mine works on the school paper. He asked me if I'd like to try reporting, so I did, and I really love it.
Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah, the first article I wrote, it was a profile of the chemistry professor, the one who was named Teacher of the Year. My article ran on the front page.When I saw my name, I mean, my byline in print, I was hooked. Now I know this is what I want to do. Be a reporter.
Isn't it great to discover something that you really enjoy? And I read that article, too. It was very good.
To be honest, the article got lots of editing. In fact, I barely recognized a couple of paragraphs. But the editor explained why the changes were made. I learned a lot. And my second article didn't need nearly as many changes.
Well, sounds like you've got a real knack for this.
Yeah.Anyway, I'm glad you scheduled this meeting, because I want to change my major to journalism now.
The university doesn't offer a major in journalism.
Oh, no.
But...
I mean, should I transfer to another school or major in English?
Well, wait a minute. Let me explain why the major isn't offered. Editors at newspapers... Editors... I mean, when you apply for a reporting job, editors look at two things.They want to see clips, you know, some of your published articles. They'll also want you to try out. They'll give you an assignment, like, covering a press conference or some other event. Then see if you can craft a story about it, accurately, on deadline.
So they don't even look at my major?
Well, it's not that they don't look at it. It's, well, having a degree in something other than journalism should actually work to your advantage.
How?
Most journalists specialize these days. They only write about science or business or technology, for example. Is there a type of reporting you think you might like to specialize in?
Well, I think it'd be really cool to cover the Supreme Court. I mean, their decisions affect so many people.
Well, that's really a goal worth striving for. So why not continue majoring in political science?And as electives, you could take some pre-law classes, like constitutional law. And as for your work on the student newspaper, maybe they'd let you cover some local court cases, ones that students and professors here would want to read about.
Do you know of any?
Well, I do, actually. There's a case involving this computer software program that one of our professors wrote. The district court's deciding if the university's entitled to any of the professor's profits.
Wow, I'll definitely follow up on that.
好，这一段呢，其实学生他之所以要找老师，他要谈的这件事儿呢，就是他想当一个记者。 然后他就写报道了，那校园报纸嘛，校报，对不对？然后他说 I want to change my major to a journalism now. 他想把自己的整个的专业也去给改，从理工科现在改成一个文科了，是吧？这个 advisor 他说 Wait a minute, let me explain why the major isn't offered. 他说这个学校呢没有这个专业 journalism, 就是大家如果出去学传媒，那他的这个一种叫法就叫 journalism, 他说我们学校没有，或者呢就是 English, 就是语言了，就相当于学中文，对不对？你就做记者的好多人也是从这个中文专业。然后呢他说 Let me explain why the major isn't offered.Editors at the newspaper. Editors, I mean, when you apply for a reporting job, editors look at the two things. They want to see clips. You know, some of your published articles. They give you an assignment. 是吧？他会，实际上他会看你以往写的报道。你要是有文章发表，你就把它剪下来，对吧？然后呢，他给你交代一个任务。比如说 like covering a press conference or some other events, then see if you can craft a story about it accurately on deadline. 所以两件事儿，给你发到这个现场去做一个报道，这个米歇尔老本行了，对不对？
对。
比如说有一个什么大会或者是一个什么事件，你去报，然后回来呢你就是 craft a story。就是糗，
对，就是糗，对，
对，你是甭管这件事儿什么信息在前，什么信息在后，总之你要写一个报道。之后的话呢，你要如实报道，要精确的报道，所以是 accurately， 而且要在截止日期之前。它是有时效性的。
对，
新闻它不同于小说，对不对？你这件事儿您太晚了，是吧？说咱们那个马航失联，对吧？都过了三年了，您报了，
哎呦。
大家都急死了，已经忘了这事儿了。
小说写个十年写出来都没关系。
对，所以要 on deadline， 这个就是他实地考察，你要去报社，他会考察这一点。然后呢，这个学生就很困惑，哟，他们连我什么专业都不看吗 ？They don't even look at my major。然后呢，他说，老师说也不完全是，对吧？他是怎么表达呢？他说 ，It's not that they don't look at it. It's well having a degree in something other than journalism should actually work to your advantage。也就是你除了这些就是报道类的专业，你要有一个别的专业呢。对你是有利的。
这段 conversation 差不多主要的信息我们已经给大家分析完了。那我们会给大家再放一遍，这边呢会有托福听力原文当中的问题 questions， 看看大家自己预测的是否一致。
好，
我们来听一下。
Listen to a conversation between a student and his faculty advisor.
Hi, Steve. I scheduled this appointment because it's been a while since we touched base.
I know. I've been really busy.A friend of mine works on the school paper. He asked me if I'd like to try reporting, so I did, and I really love it.
Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah, the first article I wrote, it was a profile of the chemistry professor, the one who was named Teacher of the Year. My article ran on the front page. When I saw my name, I mean, my byline in print, I was hooked. Now I know this is what I want to do. Be a reporter.
Isn't it great to discover something that you really enjoy?And I read that article, too. It was very good.
To be honest, the article got lots of editing. In fact, I barely recognized a couple of paragraphs. But the editor explained why the changes were made. I learned a lot. And my second article didn't need nearly as many changes.
Ooh, sounds like you've got a real knack for this.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you scheduled this meeting, because I want to change my major to journalism now.
The university doesn't offer a major in journalism.
Oh, no.
But...
I mean, should I transfer to another school or major in English?
Well, wait a minute. Let me explain why the major isn't offered. Editors at newspapers... Editors... I mean, when you apply for a reporting job, editors look at two things. They want to see clips, you know, some of your published articles. They'll also want you to try out. They'll give you an assignment like covering a press conference or some other event...Then see if you can craft a story about it accurately on deadline.
So they don't even look at my major?
Well, it's not that they don't look at it. It's, well, having a degree in something other than journalism should actually work to your advantage.
How?
Most journalists specialize these days. They only write about science or business or technology, for example. Is there a type of reporting you think you might like to specialize in?
Well...I think it'd be really cool to cover the Supreme Court. I mean, their decisions affect so many people.
Well, that's really a goal worth striving for. So why not continue majoring in political science? And as electives, you could take some pre-law classes, like constitutional law. And as for your work on the student newspaper, maybe they'd let you cover some local court cases, ones that students and professors here would want to read about.
Do you know of any?
Well, I do, actually. There's a case involving this computer software program that one of our professors wrote. The district court's deciding if the university's entitled to any of the professor's profits.
Wow, I'll definitely follow up on that.
What is the conversation mainly about? Why does the advisor discourage the student from transferring to another university? According to the advisor, how do newspaper editors evaluate an applicant for a reporting position? What points does the advisor make when she suggests that the student report on a local court case?
接下来呢，我们再跟大家分享一段 lecture 关于 biology。
讲到这个生物呢，它就有各种的什么习性啦，繁殖是吧？这一次呢，它的这个内容还是比较的细，它就讲动物呢怎样去 regulate their own body temperature，
怎样
以体温对是怎样去保持的，是吧？然后呢，比如说我们会有出汗呐，是吧？像狗狗呢，它就张着嘴，天一热它就在那儿喘，是不是？然后它会讲到一些动物的这些生存方法。现在我们先听一遍。
好的。
Listen to part of a lecture in a biology class.
Almost all animals have some way of regulating their body temperature. Otherwise, they wouldn't survive extreme hot or cold conditions. Sweating, panting, swimming to cooler or warmer water, ducking into somewhere cool like a burrow or a hole under a rock. These are just a few. And that spot is colder or warmer than the surrounding environment because it's a microclimate. A microclimate is a group of climate conditions that affect a localized area.Weather features like temperature, wind, moisture, and so on. And when I say localized, I mean really localized, because microclimates can be, as the name suggests, pretty small, even less than a square meter. And microclimates are affected by a huge number of other variables. Obviously, weather conditions in the surrounding area are a factor, but other aspects of the location, like, the elevation of the land, the plant life nearby, and so on, have a substantial effect on microclimates. And of course, the human development in the area, a road will affect a nearby microclimate. It's also interesting to note that microclimates that are near each other can have very different conditions.In the forest, for example, there can be a number of very different microclimates close to each other because of all the variables I just mentioned.
So how does a hole in the ground, a burrow, stay cool in a hot climate?
Well, since cold air sinks and these spots are shaded, they're usually much cooler than the surrounding area. And these spots are so important because many animals rely on microclimates to regulate their body temperature. For instance, there is a species of squirrel in the western part of the United States that can get really hot when they're out foraging for food, so they need a way to cool down. So what do? They go back to their own burrow. Once they get there, their body temperatures decrease very, very quickly. The trip to the burrow prevents the squirrel from getting too hot.
But squirrels are mammals, right? I thought mammals regulated their temperature internally.
Mammals do have the ability to regulate their body temperature.But not all can do it to the same degree, or even the same way. Like, when you walk outside on a hot day, you perspire, and your body cools itself down. A classic example of how a mammal regulates its own body temperature. But one challenge that squirrels face, well, many small mammals do, is that because of their size, sweating would make them lose too much moisture. They'd dehydrate.But on the other hand, their small size allows them to fit into very tiny spaces. So for small mammals, microclimates can make a big difference. They rely on microclimates for survival.
So cold-blooded animals, like reptiles, they can't control their own body temperature, so I can imagine the effect a microclimate would have on them.
Yes. Many reptiles and insects rely on microclimates to control their body temperature.A lot of reptiles use burrows, or stay under rocks to cool down. Of course, with reptiles, it's a balancing act. Staying in the heat for too long can lead to problems, but staying in the cold can do the same. So reptiles have to be really precise about where they spend their time, even how they position their bodies. And when I say they're precise, I mean it. Some snakes will search out a place under rocks of a specific thickness, because too thin a rock doesn't keep them cool enough, and too thick a rock will cause them to get too cold. That level of precision is critical to the snake for maintaining its body temperature. And even microscopic organisms rely on microclimates for survival. Now think about this. Decomposing leaves create heat that warms the soil. The warm soil, in turn, affects the growth, the conditions of organisms there, and those organisms then affect the rate of decomposition of the leaves. So a microclimate can be something so small and so easily disturbed that even a tiny change can have a big impact. If someone on a hike knocks a couple of rocks over, they could be unwittingly destroying a microclimate that an animal or organism relies on.
这边结束了呢，我们会跟大家来分析一下。
嗯，他讲了其实几种动物哈，其实我觉得听这一段我自己感觉觉得挺有意思呢，就是哺乳动物它是恒温，对不对？
嗯。
可是你说像人，他要恒温，他比较机灵，他知道冬天穿一个大衣，弄个皮夹克。可是你说松鼠那种特小的动物，他怎么让他自己这个小身子骨在那寒冷的冰天雪地的冬天还能保持恒温呢？
靠信念吧，
靠信念是吧？那不行哈、啊。其实他讲这个动物呢还挺好玩的，
嗯，
然后其中他还讲到了那个 reptile， 还有 insects 啊，那个
爬行动物和昆虫。
和昆虫，那这些动物它其实它是变温的还是常温的呀？体温
变温的吧？
对呀、啊，它是变温的。
蛇
是不是？
嗯。
然后，但是这些动物呢，它也需要借助这个有利的地形和地势，
嗯，
去给自己找温暖，明白吧？所以这里边呢讲的几个事儿吧，还挺有意思的，
嗯，
不太难。那我们现在先说一下这个后边这一块哈，我就想讲这个小的叫 microclimate。它有一个微环境下面的、气候，念一下这一段。
嗯、Think about this. Decomposing leaves create heat that warms the soil. The warm soil in turn affects the growth, the conditions of organisms there, and those organisms then affect the rate of decomposition of the leaves. So a microclimate can be something so small and so easily to disturb that even a tiny change can have a big impact. If someone on a hike knocks a couple of rocks over, they could be unwittingly destroying a microclimate that an animal or organism relies on.
对了，所以这是那个微气候。而他为什么要提那些远足的人呢？徒步行走的人，说他把那几块石头就是 unwittingly 哈，就是一不小心给踢了，他不是有意的踢了。是吧？他就讲的话，这个其实你可能就把一个小动物的栖息地给毁了。
嗯，我们马上再跟大家放一遍，这次的录音当中会带有最原始的问题，看跟大家预计的是否一样。
Listen to part of a lecture in a biology class.
Almost all animals have some way of regulating their body temperature. Otherwise, they wouldn't survive extreme hot or cold conditions. Sweating, panting, swimming to cooler or warmer water.Ducking into somewhere cool, like a burrow or a hole under a rock. These are just a few. And that spot is colder or warmer than the surrounding environment because it's a microclimate. A microclimate is a group of climate conditions that affect a localized area. Weather features like temperature, wind, moisture, and so on. And when I say localized, I mean really localized, because microclimates can be, as the name suggests, pretty small, even less than a square meter. And microclimates are affected by a huge number of other variables. Obviously, weather conditions in the surrounding area are a factor, but other aspects of the location, like, the elevation of the land, the plant life nearby, and so on, have a substantial effect on microclimates.And of course, the human development in the area, a road will affect a nearby microclimate. It's also interesting to note that microclimates that are near each other can have very different conditions. In the forest, for example, there can be a number of very different microclimates close to each other because of all the variables I just mentioned.
So how does a hole in the ground, a burrow, stay cool in a hot climate?
Well, Since cold air sinks and these spots are shaded, they're usually much cooler than a surrounding area. And these spots are so important because many animals rely on microclimates to regulate their body temperature. For instance, there is a species of squirrel in the western part of the United States that can get really hot when they're out foraging for food, so they need a way to cool down. So what do? They go back to their own burrow. Once they get there, their body temperatures decrease very, very quickly. The trip to the burrow prevents the squirrel from getting too hot.
But squirrels are mammals, right? I thought mammals regulated their temperature internally.
Mammals do have the ability to regulate their body temperature, but not all can do it to the same degree, or even the same way. Like, when you walk outside on a hot day, you perspire, and your body cools itself down. A classic example of how a mammal regulates its own body temperature. But one challenge that squirrels face, well, many small mammals do, is that because of their size, sweating would make them lose too much moisture. They'd dehydrate. But on the other hand, their small size allows them to fit into very tiny spaces. So for small mammals, microclimates can make a big difference. They rely on microclimates for survival.
So cold-blooded animals, like reptiles, they can't control their own body temperature, so I can imagine the effect a microclimate would have on them.
Yes. Many reptiles and insects rely on microclimates to control their body temperature. A lot of reptiles use burrows, or stay under rocks to cool down. Of course, with reptiles, it's a balancing act. Staying in the heat for too long can lead to problems, but staying in the cold can do the same. So reptiles have to be really precise about where they spend their time, even how they position their bodies. And when I say they're precise, I mean it. Some snakes will search out a place under rocks of a specific thickness, because too thin a rock doesn't keep them cool enough, and too thick a rock will cause them to get too cold. That level of precision is critical to the snake for maintaining its body temperature. And even microscopic organisms rely on microclimates for survival. Now think about this. Decomposing leaves create heat that warms the soil. The warm soil, in turn, affects the growth, the conditions of organisms there, and those organisms then affect the rate of decomposition of the leaves. So a microclimate can be something so small and so easily disturbed that even a tiny change can have a big impact. If someone on a hike knocks a couple of rocks over, they could be unwittingly destroying a microclimate that an animal or organism relies on.
What is the lecture mainly about? What two factors does the professor say can affect a microclimate? What point does the professor make when she mentions squirrels? What does the professor imply about reptiles and microclimates? According to the professor, how do decomposing leaves affect microclimates?
The other people watching me, and we're all people watching the other people watching we, and we're as lonely as we wanted to be. We're all as lonely as we wanted to be, just as lonely as we wanted to be. I'm just you, you're just me. It's only true. Nobody never told me not to do.
今天呢，我们跟大家分享的就是这些，一个 conversation， 一个 lecture。大家如果愿意的话，也可以在我们的网上找到这期节目的回听，重新再听一遍。希望节目对大家有帮助。我们明天见。
下一期大学生英语在线将继续为您带来托福听力的内容。
接下来您将听到的是私房拷贝。Coming up next is home video.
dream about.